Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. We had snow yesterday. It was Sunday fun day, and some parts of the country got a massive dump yesterday. And so
it was
amazing, wasn't it? So we're obviously over in Surrey. We had loads. My sister who lives in Kent didn't have any, and you didn't have any.
We didn't have any. We had like a tiny bit, not enough to go make a, you know, like a snowman or anything like that, which was a shame. But I mean, it looked wonderful. And so I guess it sounds so silly, but like so needed.
Oh, do you know what? It doesn't sound silly at all. I was obviously on air yesterday, and the text messages that were coming in when the snow started to come down in London were, you know, this one particular one that stands out said, you know, just when you think there's nothing left to be happy about, you look out the window and it started to snow. And then suddenly there's hope. And I know it sounds very dramatic for just a sprinkling of snow, but there's something so magical about it. And I think everyone turned into a bit of a kid yesterday, and we could chuck snowballs and forget about a pandemic. It was brilliant.
Yeah, no, so true. And actually this year, I think we've all started appreciating like the little things. Like, you know, 2 years ago, we'd have probably been moaning about the snow because we would have been trying to get to lunch. And we couldn't get there, and the tubes were cancelled, and all of that. And we'd have been like, oh, this is annoying. But actually, there's nothing else to do. So why not go out and enjoy it?
I bloody loved it. We took the sledges up to this. We just walked out and went up to this hill near our house. And Dozza did you see the video? He was basically like pulling us at the speed of light down this hill, which was really fucking good fun. I had such a good time. So when I got back to my car after work, he'd written PDJ Heart said DJ on the back of my car. And it's like you were saying about the little things, like, you know, maybe in the past I would have gone like, oh, okay, well, you know, are we going to take me out for a nice lunch? But now I'm like, yes, he's written on the back of my car. Relationship goals.
Which leads us nicely to the chat we're going to have today.
Yeah. How is your relationship going?
It's all right, actually. I think this year we've never argued so much as like at any time, but we've also never spent so much time with each other. So, you know, plenty of opportunity to argue. Mm. I think we're a lot better this lockdown than we were the last, probably because James is at work.
how do your arguments go down? Like, if you do have a spat between the two of you, what does it look like in terms
of... What does it look like? Usually something really small that triggers it off.
Right.
And it's usually to do with like something like, you know, me not getting enough time to myself, or me not feeling appreciated, or mainly that kind of thing. But the thing with James is that's why he's called Judgy James, because he's very judgy. So like, he will judge the way you do anything. And in the past, that I used to know that's just what he does. You know, he's just particular, and that's, you know, that's how he is. He's very particular about everything. And I used to just let it go over my head because, you know, I had a load of break from it. I wasn't with him all the time, so it was fine. I used to just laugh it off. But I think this year particularly, where I feel like I'm taking on everything, where, you know, fair enough, he can't take everything on. He has to go out to work.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I resent it quite a lot when he does pick at me, because I feel like, are you actually joking? Are you joking?
Yeah.
You are worried about the way, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, like I folded the t-shirts please give me please give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Whereas before I would just be like, oh, shut up. Like, oh, shut up, you do it. You know, like I would just, you know, it'd be fine. But this year I feel like I'm taking things a lot more, like a lot harder and a lot more personal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's understandable.
It's understandable because, you know, you're like, hang on a minute, I'm here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You get to go out. Yes, okay, it's to work, but you still have to have, you get to have human conversation.
Yes.
You get to interact with other people, do a job that you love, and then you're coming back and talking about the t-shirts. And I understand that. And I'm the same actually in various things. I'm one of those people that I don't see the need to highlight stuff. Like, for example,
yeah, I don't.
If there's something that irritates me, like, I don't know, the fact that he folds the towels up and leaves them in a perfect square wet on the floor in the bedroom. I don't feel the need to go, oh, for goodness sakes, will you pick the towel up? And I just pick it up and I just go, oh, well, look, it's one of his quirks, whatever. I'm not that bothered. I don't want to have a row. Whereas he's the other way around. Like, if something is irritating him, he'll very much highlight it to me. And I'm like, why? Just leave me. Like, I'm doing the best I can. It's quite interesting that I'd rather just say nothing and get on with it rather than have an argument. But we're so hot-headed. Like, we're, you know, he's a Taurus, I'm a Scorpio. When we're good, we're really good. And when we're bad, we're wicked. And the arguments are so savage when they go there. You know, most of the time we don't argue, but I don't know if anyone else is experiencing this because of the pressure cooker environment. And the feeling of, I can't even, you know, I'm not really even sort of supposed to get in the car and, you know, drive out somewhere. You know, I'm not even allowed to do that. There is like, there's the feeling of complete claustrophobia. And so it's like things that would have, like you said, would have just been washed away. They become a real thing, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. You can't, that is the whole thing. So I'm exactly the same as you. Like I can let things go quite easily, you know, like, oh, that annoyed me. You leave your pants on the floor. All right, whatever. I just pick them up, put them in the washing bin. It's really not the end of the world. But then, exactly the same. He's a lot hard. But you know what else you talk about? Claustrophobia. Right. That is what I find so hard. So, I mean, you know, I don't really talk about like sex life or anything, but say I'm in the shower. Say I'm in the shower, right? And before, if James used to like jump in the shower with me, that would be like fun. Mm. Now I'm like, oh my God, get away from me. I can't even be on my own in the shower.
I know.
Why are you coming in here?
I know. And then the water splashing up in your face with two of you is irritating.
Oh, and you're just thinking, oh my God, please, I just want some space. Don't come near me.
But then you're like, I don't know, it's I hear you. I absolutely hear you. And I don't know about you, but in previous life, I used to be able to, you know, during an argument, I could be like, okay, let's press the ripcord or pull the ripcord here. And we've got a code word and we can step away and let's take a moment.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's really important to have, it's quite a good tip actually, if you have got a code word that kind of gets you out of one of those heated situations that you can't talk your way out of. You know, when it's getting really, really hot and heavy and things are getting quite explosive, I think it's really important. Me and Dozer say we're going to come up with a new one that's kind of funny, like broccoli or cauliflower or something, so that we can kind of lighten the mood. Because otherwise, I'm like a rock boiler and I just keep going, why? Well, tell me, why are you cross? Why are you? And it's like, he's just like, leave me alone. And I need to learn. I really do need to learn. I probably need to do some more work on it just to be able to step back from it. Let it go in that situation and just be like, okay, it's fine, and just take a break. But my nature is to like push and push and push and push and push. Once I'm in an argument, you know, before it, that's fine.
It. You're in it. Yeah. It is. I think one of you has to be the person that can like take a step back and be like, right, okay, let's quit, you know, let's leave this, let's put this to bed. But I mean, we've got loads of tips coming up in this chat, and do you know what, it's something I've really thought about. We had this chat last week and I have thought about it over, you know, over the last week, a lot of the tips that were given, and I'm hoping it's making me better.
I think we really needed it. I think me and you really needed it. And I think the messages that we're getting in from the followers and people that listen to the podcast, you know, everybody is going through it in their relationship in their own way. So we really wanted to give you a conversation that could hopefully, like Georgia said, give you some tips on how to deal with those situations, understand our partners more, and basically, you know, have a space to be like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Yes. Everyone's going through it.
Exactly.
Who are we talking to today, G?
Today, we are chatting to psychotherapist Victoria Shallett.
So today we're talking to Victoria Shallett. Hello.
Hello.
Yay. Yay. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Just about.
Get asked that a lot, or is it you usually doing the asking?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of some clients don't always ask, but yeah, it's always a funny one, isn't it? It's like people kind of say fine, and I often say fine as in the kind of there's an acronym for fine. There are two, actually.
Go on. It can be,
fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
That's me. What's the other one?
Fucking incapable of normal expression.
That's you, Georgia.
That's me. We've got it. We've got the two. We've got them down. We know exactly what that means now.
Being a psychotherapist, that's quite interesting that people, I mean, you can probably tell the answer when you say to somebody, how are you? And they go, fine. Can you see through that? Is that one of your many special skills? And are you hearing it a lot at the moment?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is when we went straight into the lockdown the first time, and it was, you know, everyone was working from home and I was working all the time online. It was, what I really missed was people walking into the office and actually feeling the energy of people. Because before they've even spoken, you can feel how they are a lot of the time. Yeah, to a large extent you can. But I think once you've built up a relationship with a client, you're, well, at least I can say that I feel that I kind of can see on their face, or I can feel just in their hello how they might be.
And just tell us exactly what you do and your kind of method of working. It's really interesting.
Well, I trained as a psychotherapist, a gestalt, a humanistic psychotherapist, which doesn't mean much to a lot of people. It's quite a broad term, psychotherapist, but essentially I trained to work with individuals, and then I got really interested in working with couples, and I did some training on that. And then I finished, I trained in North London, in a place called Spectrum. And once I'd got through the program there, I felt like I wanted some more support with couples because it really interested me,
yeah,
particularly after I'd had my son, unsurprisingly, because it kind of does something to your,
yes,
relationship.
It definitely does. Yeah.
But I was saying to G that I kind of felt that, you know, 5 months after my son was born, I was really wanting to use my brain. And I kind of got this email through, you know, that I'd subscribed to saying, hey, you know, you could do this module and it would be this much off. And, you know, very American kind of, it should be, you know, $3,000 and it's $400. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, okay, I'll just do this to keep my mind ticking over. It's one module. I won't think about it. It'll just get, you know, some professional development under my belt. And I got hooked, and I had signed up to do this work with a guy called Terry Real in the States, who is the founder of Relational Life Institute. And he set up RLT therapy, which is teaching people to be more relational. And
okay.
He's phenomenal. And I find his method of working so compassionate and yet to the point, and it has really good results. So I kind of got hooked, and I did the 3-year training, and I was going back and forth to the States to do that. And then I qualified in 2019.
Wow.
And I'm one of a very, very few of us in the UK who are qualified to work in that method. So people who are looking to him, you know, he's one of those people, he's talked on Oprah, on Goop, on those kind of things. And people,
yeah,
hear him and then look for him. And so suddenly the influx of people looking for couples usually come to me looking for that work.
Right,
also,
okay.
Georgia, he's our route to Oprah.
There we go. You can hook us up. So you mentioned that you became particularly interested in working with couples after you had your son.
Mm.
So I'm guessing you must have quite a lot of parents coming to you. And what do they usually come to you with? What are the issues that kind of trigger a couple to come and see somebody?
It's a really good question. I think it's shock, frankly. I think it's no one can prepare you. I don't know about you guys. I've only had one. You guys have two. But, you know, no one prepares you for what it does to your life.
Mm.
I mean, of course, I'm going to put all the brilliant things that we get from having a child on a chair, and that's all there. But it really does change your perspective. It changes your relationship. It changes how much energy you have, what you have to give to the world, and how you feel about yourself, your identity. So much changes overnight.
Yeah.
And so people come with that. They then come with the kind of the kind of grief about the loss of the relationship, although sometimes it doesn't show up about that. It's a lot of anger and resentment, and I want to leave, and I can't do this anymore. And then, you know, I know you've touched on this with other people in podcasts, just then it becomes like how you parent. Then suddenly our kind of own childhoods start to show up more than they ever have before. You know, children are our best and most painful mirrors. And so it's going to show up, you know, how we were each of us was brought up and how we were parented, rightly or wrongly. And we just, it feels instinctive because that's how we were parented. And so it makes sense to us, but that's not always going to be the same as your partner.
It's really interesting that you mentioned that, because I feel like before we became parents, nobody even highlighted for a second that any of that stuff would come up.
Yeah,
like, sure. I just thought, oh, we'll just have a baby and, you know, we'll be completely on the same page about everything. You know, we'll want the same things. We'll be doing it as a team. Like, nobody said for a second, you know what, there's probably going to be, you know, tussles between the two of you about how to discipline, or, you know, what food they're eating, what time they're going to bed, or, you know, one rule for the other. Like, there's so much stuff that comes up. It's like this massive ocean of waves just crashing against you constantly.
But there's a layer of grief before that, before you even get into the kind of how to parent. There's this overnight kind of loss of the life that you'll never have again. Like that, even if you know, I know we all claw it back a little bit, but you will never have no one to worry about again, like in that way.
Yeah.
Then it'll never just be the two of you again. And so there is something about really honoring that as having ended. Now what's the next chapter? But we gloss over that because there's no time. You're in that bubble of how the hell do I keep this thing alive? And so I think that piece is the piece that gets missing, and then we layer on top of that foundation of how do you parent.
Do you see like parents coming to you that are not like jealous of the child, but they feel where they used to be their partner's everything and they now second to that?
Sure.
Do you see that comes up a lot, like that, you know, one partner maybe can't get over the fact that they're not number one anymore?
Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, it's a little bit of a cliche, but cliches are there because they're real, right? They're true.
Yeah.
There's a sense that and a lot of people can get angry because mostly, and I'm really generalizing here, mostly it's kind of men who feel like they're kind of suddenly out of the picture and they've lost you.
Yeah.
And they have, but I think that goes back to the point about the grief that I was talking about. If you haven't acknowledged the loss, then you feel like you're being a spoiled brat if you're saying I want in. It's a really difficult one. They do, you know, the relationship changes, the dynamic changes, and you have to work harder than you ever did before to make time for the couple. And I think that's what I say to more couples than anything, is that you have to make time for the two of you, even if that is 10 minutes at the end of the day. Because if you don't do it, you will lose sight of each other and there's nothing to come back to.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I don't have all the answers, but somebody once said to me years ago, it was a great piece of advice, that if you're walking through the door and your partner's there and your kids come running over, you make sure that you give your partner a kiss and a hug before you kiss your children. And some people, you know, raise their eyebrows at me and be like, oh yeah, they've come bounding up to you and it's really important. Look, don't necessarily do that all the time, but sure. I very much, you know, because it's been quite a sort of archetypal role reversal recently with me going out to work last year a lot and Dozer being at home, working from home. And so every time I've come in the door, I could see in his face, he's had it up to the eyebrows.
Yeah.
to the eyeballs with them. And I want to make sure that he knows that he is my priority. And in fact, your relationship, even though you've had a child, still has to be the priority, because for me, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Victoria, it's like you're just a couple trying to muddle through. Then you've
Absolutely.
Had this tiny baby chucked in the middle of it. You can't take your foot off the pedal with your relationship.
No, absolutely. And that was one of the, I mean, Adam and I have been in therapy since we met, pretty much, because that's what my world is. And also because we had, you know, we came to a relationship, he has a daughter, and we had to kind of like find our way with the relationships that had gone before. And it's been the best thing we've ever done. We do it periodically. We've worked with the same woman for years. And it's so helpful to have someone else kind of watching us from the outside with our relationship, her best interests, you know, our relationship at the heart of it. And she, you know, she's there to kind of remind us, you know, you've been here before and this has happened and I've seen this before, this pattern and this pattern. And it's been really useful. But she said to us very early on exactly that, you know, you've got to, you know, your child will be with you until they're a grown adult, and then they're
going to
make their way in the world.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be left together. Like, the relationship is core. And also, more than that, you are modeling how to be relational in the world.
Yeah.
What your children see and what they live is what they learn.
Yeah.
You talk about the grief. I just want to sort of touch on that. In what ways can we, you know, talk about the grief, accept the grief, and kind of live with it, I guess, because obviously life will never be the same again, but we find a new way. So what are the sort of tips that you give your clients on how to really address that period of life, which is over for now?
I think naming it more than anything, it's like naming it, letting it be there, letting it that kind of hang in the air, like that is gone. And I think a lot of people, mostly, I probably speak for myself here, that I probably did it. I could make that mean very easily. I could make that mean that there's part of me that doesn't want my son here because I'm missing something. But it's not. You've got to hold both, and you can feel both things at the same time. Like, I don't want, you know, my life has changed and that's wonderful because my son is here. And I'm really missing my life with just my husband, and I'm missing what was possible. And so to make space for it, and to acknowledge it, and then more importantly to join in it with each other, to join in the truth of both of you missing that, and just saying, I miss it too, not getting defensive as if that means that the life you now have isn't good enough, which I think a lot of people can do.
Yeah. And so you sort of mentioned about, you know, a lot of people grieve the loss of their life before, but I think sometimes what can happen in, you know, in relationships is that one might feel quite happy with their life, you know, they're really happy with it and that's fine. And that's the way they pictured it. And, you know, they're getting on with it. And then the other doesn't feel like, so, you know, on the same page, and they're the one that's grieving. And I think sometimes that can be really, really difficult because
divisive.
Because one person is happy with the new them, they're, you know, they're more than happy with it. That's maybe what they always pictured it was going to be, and then the other person isn't. So how do, I mean, well, obviously you do like couples therapy together, but does it come down to individuals working on themselves as well?
Yeah, a lot. Well, a lot of the time and part of Terry's training, it supports the therapists, the couples therapists, to work with the individual, with the other one there.
Yeah.
So there's occasions where I might do a session with each of you individually, but mostly I will do the work in front of the other. So sometimes I might not speak to one of them very much throughout the session. And I'll ask permission to see if, and keep checking in to see if that's okay. But actually, part of the magic and the power of therapy is someone witnessing you. So what's more intimate and more real than your partner being there when you're processing that? And that's transformative. It has been certainly for my marriage. But I do think, you know, your point that you were raising about the kind of the difference, one can enjoy it and the other one not so much. That was definitely my experience. I was much happier than my husband was at the beginning. My husband found it really difficult when our son was born, and really grieved the life before. And his mode, as Zoe knows, he's much more kind of expressive and he's quite angry, and he kind of and that all comes up, and I'm such a kind of get on with it, get up, do it, and you know, not complain.
Yeah,
and you know,
he's a kind of up and down, highs and lows.
Yeah, character, isn't he? You know how Adam is.
Yeah,
everyone knows how Adam is. Even if you're doing a Barry's glass, the whole glass will know. But it's a kind of, and that's hard to live with. And I could, and it got to about 10 months. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep it all together. Mm. And I really needed some help. And I, you know, it's my job to tell people to ask for help. And unsurprisingly, I find it quite difficult.
Funny
myself.
That.
Yeah. it was really, really important for us to acknowledge that, you know, when you carry a baby, you have nine and a half months to get used to it. Your whole life changes. For men, it happens overnight. You know, they're watching you, they go out to work throughout, you know, and then suddenly this little person is there demanding every single ounce of you. And I suppose it's simply allowing that person to go through that without it making it mean anything about you or the relationship. Mm-hmm. The person is just simply expressing their feeling. I mean, of course, there are ways that we can express it that's more helpful than others. But the biggest lesson for me after our son was born was, I think our therapist said to me, she said, what if he never changes? What if this is it?
Oh, God.
Okay. And then it's like, and then it comes down to the kind of work I do with Terry, where he kind of calls it, what he calls the relational reckoning. Am I getting more from this relationship than I'm not getting? And if I am, then I have to let go of the things I'm not getting.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after the short break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
It's really interesting that you mentioned that, because I think we expect all things from one person. And I think, you know, that's the reason we've got best mates or, you know, a great parent that we can talk to, is that our partner can't give us it all. You know, there are certain things that they're not going to be able to tick off on that list. And I think it's really important to remember that. And I'm like, why doesn't he understand me when I say this? And it's like, well, that's not the way his brain works. He's been in rugby his whole life. He's very brutal and honest and direct and down the line. And I am an emotional wreck that needs a massage. And he can't do that to me. He can't give that to me. So I don't go to that for him anymore. I go to, you know, my best mates. Yeah. That's just what I have to do. But I think in the moment when you're extremely tired, you know, extreme exhaustion, and all the hormones are up and about, it becomes bigger than it should be.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think it's really, you know, there's a brilliant therapist you might know called Esther Perel, who talks about how, you know, we used to raise families in a village and we used to get all our needs met by that village. Yeah. And now we ask one person to meet all of those needs. Yeah. And now you put us into lockdown.
Yes.
And now everyone's wondering why they're going slightly crazy and why their relationships are struggling. It's because they're not getting out of the house. Mm. You know, we aren't able to create the distance that is required for desire to be there. You know, we have love and desire are the two elements of a good relationship. And usually people kind of plummet for, I'll take the love and I'll let go of the desire, because they just hear, you know, well, that's what happens in a long-term relationship. Well, I'm not going to accept that. I don't want to accept that. But what you need for desire to stay there is distance. You know, most of us will say, when do we really, really feel attracted to our partners? It's usually when they're at the other side of the room. They're not right in front of you. You're watching them do the thing that they do brilliantly, or you're watching them talk to someone else.
Yeah.
And so you need that distance. And right now we're all on top of each other. Mm. And so, you know, love is the kind of, you know, you finish each other's sentences, you know what you'd order on a menu, you know what you need and you know what you don't need. But, you know, when we're kind of wanting to be met on every level, because we're all going through so many different feelings. And, you know, if we take it back to parenting, you go through all of those gamut of emotions. You're wanting to be met every time. And we can't all do it.
Yeah.
We can't be that one person, as you say, Zoe, for our partner. We're never going to do it. And if we ask them to be, we just set ourselves up to fail and them.
Yeah. So this year, I mean, what was it? Well, it's almost a year, isn't it? March last year, we were all told to stay at home, and we probably had never spent so much time with our partners before, apart from maybe a long holiday. And I don't know about you guys, but there's so many things that I hadn't even realised about my husband, and I've known him since we were 17, that things that came up which I've never even seen in him, good and bad, you know. But have you had like an influx of people coming to you this year? Because I know we've never rowed as much as we have this year, but equally we've never spoken as much as well. So we've got through a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have done if we hadn't have been together so much this year. But so have you seen a lot of people coming to you basically?
Yes. Yes. I don't think it takes a genius to work that out, but it's definitely the case. I mean, people are really struggling. This is and what's interesting, I think, is that I am seeing younger and younger couples coming. Mm. And part of me, my heart sings about that, because it means that people are willing to do the work earlier in their relationships.
Yeah.
And they're really tending to the relationship and knowing that they need help and not so scared to ask for it. And actually not coming in like full crisis, which is great. And that was why I went into therapy. I thought, you know, you don't have to be in crisis to go into couples therapy. This is about, you know, we MOT our cars. Why are we not MOTing our, we go to the gym. Why are we not, you know, investing in the relationship that we claim is the most important relationship in our life? And then we just let it go. We just neglect it.
There's a stigma attached to it. People see, in my opinion and what I've heard, people see it as you're in a relationship, then you're in therapy, then the marriage is over. And it's kind of that chronological order. In the States, everybody has a therapist. It's like, you know, going to the
dentist.
Supermarket. Yeah, exactly. The dentist, an optician. Yeah. Everybody has one. And it's, I really believe it's an incredibly healthy thing that you can do. But I think in the UK, there's a bit of a stigma attached to that.
Definitely.
There is. You're right. And even in the years that I've been practicing, that is changing. And I think part of that is social media and the kind of opening up about things and talking about mental health, which has really, really, you know, exploded, which is no bad thing. You know, we all have mental health. It's how we look after it. Just like we all have a body, how do we look after our bodies?
Yeah.
So it is, you know, that's why I talk about it so much. And I, you know, I'll go to a party when we used to be able to go to parties, or go out and I meet people and they say, what do you do? And I say what I do. And a lot of people, you either get people go, really, oh, that's really interesting, and ask me loads of questions, or you literally get people walk away from you. Like I can see through them and I can see everything.
You're analyzing them.
Yeah. But it's, I talk about it, and I talk about the fact that Adam and I have been in therapy since the beginning of our relationship, and how important that is and how brilliant it's been for us. You know, when we've really been going through tough times, and even when we're having a good time, it's then about how, you know, we don't do enough of celebrating of the good stuff.
Yeah.
And that is something that I keep talking about. Yeah. Really, really noting it, like really, you know, because we can't do so much at the moment, we can't go out for dinner, we can't go and see friends, we can't go on holiday, we can't do the things that usually you put in the diary to look forward to and to reconnect, we need to kind of treat it like a job. You need to like put in, even if it's the bare minimum of, you know, there's this lovely institute in the States called the Gottman Institute, and they send out, you can sign up for their emails, and they send out the marriage minute. I think it's every Tuesday or Thursday. And it gives you kind of things to think about in your marriage. So it's just being mindful about your marriage. And they always say, you know, you should have a 6-second kiss every day.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
I normally go for 2 minutes. 2 minutes is what? Because I think if you can snog for two minutes every day, generally
that's fairly long. Can you imagine, see my husband's beard? Imagine how sore my mouth is.
Oh God, you need to toughen your face up a bit. Go through it.
Maybe start from a kiss.
But it's like putting those things in and kind of leaving each other a note to say thank you, saying thank you. You know, that's huge. Acknowledging that, thanks for doing bath time tonight, thanks for reading a story, whatever it is, like, I really appreciate it, thanks for making dinner, thanks for giving me some time to go and do some exercise, or whatever it is, like, really acknowledge your partner in the way that you'd acknowledge a mate.
Yes.
In a way that you'd acknowledge your colleagues at work, because you're kind of thinking, I need these people. I need to be, you know, in a good environment. And we let go of that at home so easily.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right.
That's so interesting. And I think it's something we forget to do. It's almost like we expect it goes back to that expectation of what our partner is there for. And it's like we're not just at each other's beck and call and expected to do everything. There has to be that level of, like you said, taking a moment to just actually say, you know, I really, really, really appreciate everything that you've done for me today, and I love you, and I love you for these reasons, for taking the bins out or for letting me lie on the bed. And like last night, I didn't do bath time. It's probably the first time I've not done it I can't remember, months and months and months on end. I just went, I can't do it tonight. We normally do it together, but he just took it last night, and it got it. It was like a gold ring.
It's
like, cheers, mate. Bye.
And it is. And it's that bit, Zoe. It's simply the thank you, the acknowledgement that he did it. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to cost you. It doesn't cost you anything. And I think that's what we get our heads. You know, we get into our heads. A lot of people don't want to say thank you. They don't want to say sorry because they're going to have to give something up. Get interested in what is it? How is this going to cost me?
I think, you know, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are women and their mothers. And, you know, might go away from this podcast and think, right, I am going to say thank you. But what happens on the flip side when you feel like you're doing everything and you're not getting any thanks? How do you go about encouraging, you know, the other person in your life to be on the same page?
Good question, G.
Really good question. A communication skill in RLT called the feedback wheel. And what it is there are four steps to it. So you start with, this is what happened. This is what I saw happen. So you kind of report that as if a kind of camera was watching. So there's no emotion in it. There's no kind of interpretation. This is what happened. Then the next stage is, this is what I made up about it. Then you say, this is how I feel about it. And then you move to, this is what I'd like you to do in the future. And it's not, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's got to be, you've got to think about what you would need in the future. Because we all our feelings are based on what we are believing about ourselves in the minute and what we make something mean about us and about our relationship. So if you can slow it down into those four categories. This is what happened.
Yeah.
This is what I made up about it. Mm-hmm. And this is what I feel. I'd like this going forward. And then you have to accept what you get and let go of the things you don't.
Will you give us an example?
Okay. So, you know, to take your point, G, of like, I saw that you came in from work and you went upstairs and took a shower and then you came back downstairs and you sat on the sofa and watched the television.
Yeah.
I made up a story that you felt entitled to do that and that you didn't really care what I needed. and I felt a bit angry. I felt really disappointed, and I felt sad. And I'd really like you to come in and say hello and perhaps tell me that you would like to take a shower. And I'd like you to ask if there's anything I need before you do that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh.
I want Vix to live with both of us. Half the time with me and half the time with you. I love that. I think it's so, it's kind of so easy, and you can see it so clearly when we're sitting here talking calmly. I think, yeah. I don't know about you, Vix and G, but I get quite angry. I have quite a lot of rage at the moment, and it's weird because I never used to be an angry person. So I can go from being absolutely okay to being absolutely at boiling point, where I have to get myself out of the room. Generally, I go and stand in the laundry. But the anger levels seem to be, or at least that sort of moment where you can handle it and then bang, you can't handle it, seems to happen quite quickly. And is that, do you think, a sign of being locked in? I feel quite claustrophobic, a bit anxious in my chest, that sure. kind of stuff.
Well, I say to people, most people come in with a kind of fear of anger. They don't want to address anger. I talk about anger as being a spectrum. So, you know, boredom is one end and rage is at the other end. So what it is anger is my boundary. Anger is my best ally. It's telling me something isn't working for me. I have to listen to it. If I don't, it's going to be dangerous. So it's, you know, and I really sympathize, Zoe. I didn't class myself as someone who's angry. And for much of the last year, I've been more angry than I ever have been. I think there's a kind of, you know, I know you mentioned this on other, certainly the other day on the podcast, about certainly a generalization, but women's tendency to kind of do everything and not ask for help. And we've got to get over that, because when we don't, we explode at the people we love the most. And we wouldn't do it at work. You know, it's like, if you can contain it at work, you can contain it at home. And it's not about suppressing it. I really need to make that clear. It's not about not acknowledging it. You can say, I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so angry. I feel so irritated. I feel so frustrated, and this is what I need. But so often we just explode and we scream at people, and I don't want to shame anyone for doing that. I've done it myself. And at the same time, it's what, again, Terry would call this kind of, it's our whoosh, it's our first consciousness. We've been, it goes to a part of our brain where we're not actually processing anything. We need to take a breath. We need to walk out the room. We need to come back. And we need to say, I'm really angry.
I chucked a fork in the sink the other night, like from a movie, like across the room, into the sink, smashed a glass, like some sort of crazy bitch. Like, I literally have never done. I was so angry. And then I went into the laundry, slammed the door, and I screamed like I was possessed by a ghost. And Isla came downstairs. She was in bed. She came downstairs. She went, oh, someone's screaming. I was like, I know. I don't know who it is. No, it was definitely a woman's voice. All right. Yeah, no, don't know. Get but I was so, I was sort of shocked and quite ashamed that I behaved in that way, because that's not how I communicate. I'm a communicator.
Yeah,
and Georgia. You know, Georgia is also
all in.
Do you know
where's
what?
Okay,
it's so funny, because the other day I was reading a book with Axel, and it was about like if your feelings and being angry and that kind of thing. And I said to him, "What sort of thing might we do when we're angry?" And he went, "I don't know, do the hoovering." And then I literally was like, oh yeah, because when I'm cross with my husband, particularly about not doing enough, I go on a rampage, hoover, tidy up, throw everything in black sacks type of thing. Right. And he obviously now thinks that when you're angry, you do the hoovering.
That's amazing. See, they learn what they live, G. Yeah.
It did like really make me think, oh God, yeah, that is what I do.
You're using the energy in your body, G. you know, anger. Yeah,
it's not good hoovering. It's like breaking hoovering.
But your body knows what it needs, right? So yeah. if you think about the words that you're wanting to use, like if you want to wring someone's neck, if you want to punch something, you want to kind of scream, you want to stab something, there, listen to the gerund, because that bit is going to tell you what your body needs. So if you want to wring someone's neck, even if you know, not literally,
don't go and wring someone's neck.
No, so wring a towel, like go and wring a towel, go and scream in the bath, scream in a pillow, scream, like hit the bed with, you know, if you've got one of those old school hoovers with a tube, like hit the bed with an old tube, or use your kid's baseball bat, whatever it is, but doing something safely. I let my son, I kind of give him a cushion when he's angry, and he'll like hit the cushion. And I say, you can hit the cushion. And he often, when he is upset, you know, similar to you, G, like what do children do when they're angry? If he feels upset that we've kind of been cross with him, he often takes himself out into the kitchen or into another room and then comes back and just goes, ah, like roars at us. And it's just like, it's brilliant. It's him releasing and getting it out. And then it's so important to make that possible. And we are all holding so much at the moment. There's so much anger and fear and pain and loneliness that's going on. It needs to come out. Mm-hmm. Just like tears, you know, most of us are okay when people cry. They kind of go, yeah, get it out, release it. It's no different. There's nothing wrong with anger. It's how you behave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't have one without the other. I think people are frightened. No. Like you said, people are frightened to show that side of them because they don't want to let it bubble up so much that it's exploding over the top, because sometimes anger can be completely out of control. And that's, I scare myself sometimes when I get that sort of rage, and it doesn't happen that often, but I think you can't have light without dark, you know. It's like smiles without tears. It just, you have to experience all of those emotions along the spectrum. But I guess it's how we communicate when the anger's gone, and I think it would be great to get some tips from you on how to kind of cope with the aftermath of an argument.
I think there's, you know, you've got to take some space. You've got to be able to come back and know that you're ready to kind of re-engage, and nothing's going to stimulate the argument again. You know, if there's any part of you that feels like you've still got the argument in you, you need to go away and you need to kind of make a 24-hour moratorium on talking about that same subject again, because otherwise you're just going to re-stimulate the anger. So there's something about kind of coming back and acknowledging and saying, thanks for making space. Let's do something else now. So do something that's kind of connecting on another way, even if it's like watching a film or something on telly or making some food together or playing with the children or doing something that isn't about that. It's like there needs to be some kind of connection that isn't about that anymore.
So if you've had an argument and there's that thing, isn't there, don't go to sleep on an argument. Mm. But actually sometimes it's good to give it some space.
Yeah, I think that is a really important piece, G. You have to be able to like let your body calm down. Your whole kind of nervous system has to find a way to recalibrate.
Yeah.
In order to come back and actually get somewhere with this. You know, you might get to the point where you still disagree, but that you agree to disagree.
Yes.
But you can't do that when you're in that heated place.
But sometimes you can't make up before bed. Like, I hate...
Exactly.
You know, that's what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think about sleeping in a separate room or on the sofa? What do you think about stuff like that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Personally, I think it's just taking space. It's taking, you know, again, RLT, we talk about, you know, taking space responsibly. You know, you say, I'm going to go and take this space and I will be back at this point.
Yeah.
It's responsible distance taking. It's essentially saying, you know, he calls a timeout. He's saying, essentially you're saying to the other, I love you so much that I'm going to take myself out, because if I stay, I'm going to say something I regret.
Yeah. And you can't take those ones back.
And it's 100% responsibility.
Yeah.
I am going now and I am going to come back at this point. Equally, if someone wants to talk to you about something and they want to give you some feedback, going back to that feedback wheel, if they want to give you feedback and you say, do you know what? I don't want to do it right now, but I will do it at this point. You can't just say no. You have to say, because you have to know you're invested in the relationship. You can do what the hell you like if you're on your own. But once you enter into a relationship, you have to consider the other. It doesn't mean you have to do it on demand. Yeah. Again, we talk about invite your partner or request from your partner. There are very few times where you may demand. And that is usually when you've got to, like, you need to give up drinking or this is over. You yep. need to move the child away from the fire. You need, you know, those are the kind of times when you make demand. Otherwise, invite and request and know that you might get a no. Mm. But if you get a no, it's because they're really saying, I can't give you this right now.
And that's okay too.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you're going to get half of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or resentment. And resentment is simply, I've gone over my own boundary and now I want to blame you for it.
Yeah.
How do we know that we're not completely fucking up our children's lives by arguing in front of them?
We are. We are all, in one way or another, screwing up our children. Let's just accept that, right? We're all doing it. We are not doing it intentionally. And we are doing it, we're so much more mindful than previous generations. Not because I'm lambasting previous generations. We just have so much more information. We have so much more knowledge. And we're also not living in, I mean, I know currently we're going through a pandemic, but prior to this and in normal times, we've kind of got it fairly easy, right? Mm. Our parents' generation were kind of mostly going through wartime. You couldn't think about, you know, love and belonging and what else I'd like in my life. You were just making, you know, you were surviving. And I think that's what's going on now and why a lot of us are angry and sad. And under every piece of anger is sadness. Yeah. Any angry person is sad underneath. Yeah. Yeah. And all of us are just wanting to connect. Every single action, whether we're pushing someone away or we're moving towards them, we're just moving towards them. We want to be loved, you know? And there's a lovely thing one of my first therapist teachers, another Terry, taught me. And he said, you know, most couples, when they're arguing, they're saying, I miss you.
Yeah. Do you know what I find sometimes when James and I have spent so much time together, we bicker about silly things and it gets so, you know, so much bickering and everything is like wrong that the other person's doing. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally I'm like, do you know what? Let's just pretend to be nice to each other. Let's just pretend to be nice to each other. Just pretend. And usually then we're like, oh yeah, actually this is much easier.
That's brilliant.
Normally, I'm pretending to be cross, if that makes sense. Like,
right.
I'm not really cross. I'm not really cross that, like, he's left something out on the side. It's not really cross. It's just that we're just bickering, and that's what we're in. We're in that bit of just not being nice to each other. We're just at that stage. So then I go, come on, let's just pretend. Let's just pretend to be nice. And that's what I do. And, I mean, it doesn't always work, but sometimes it does.
Fake love.
Fake it till you make it.
Victoria, listen, we're going to have to wrap this up. We can literally chat to you all afternoon, but homeschooling is calling. So we'll have to say goodbye. But thank you so much. I feel like that was so helpful.
Yes. Oh, you're really welcome.
And you've got such a calming voice.
You have. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to come to you.
Very chilled.
When can you slot us in?
The two of you instead of your husband.
Yeah, the two of us.
Yeah. Let's get you booked in.
Brilliant.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Victoria.
Lovely.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So good. So good.
It is so good. I'm going to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take notes. And I'm also going to make James listen to that as well. Because I think it's important when you're on the same page with something. Yeah. But you know what? It's so good to talk about, isn't it? I love getting that kind of stuff off my chest.
Yeah, and me. And also she made me feel that everything that I was experiencing and feeling, loads of other people were also experiencing and feeling as well. And there's something quite nice in that feed. You know, sometimes my anxiety is so high around, you know, an argument or something that's annoyed me, and my rage, I get quite angry and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I'm just hoping that other people are feeling it too. And it's not just me going crazy, but actually the impact of lockdown and being, you know, in the environment that we're in all the time. Yeah, yeah. It's hard. It's genuinely hard, and it puts pressure on your relationship. So I think if you can hang on in there, don't give up.
Yeah. Do you know what? One thing, just, you know, before we wrap up, but one thing that she said, which I have really taken on board, I used to think you had to make up before you went to sleep. And I said this in the chat. And also, almost that puts pressure on riding the argument out. Like, quickly, let's get this argument done. And even if you're not ready to. But actually, the fact that she said, do you know what? It's actually all right to step away from the situation, take a break. Just know that you haven't resolved this argument. But... you know, you're not going to just be at each other, and that's okay, because you can't resolve everything within a few hours. Like, not every situation can be resolved, and sometimes it is so much better to just calm down, think about it yourself, and then revisit it when you're both ready to.
Yeah,
it is something I'm definitely going to try and do.
I'm going to try and do it all. I'll let you know how it works.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for today. But as always, please, 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 if you do have time, rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you can tell somebody in your life that's not listening to Made by Mama's podcast, please ask them to do it. It might help.
Yeah, definitely. And also, if you're not following us on Instagram, then please do. We're on at Made by Mummers. You can also send in any questions there that you have, any suggestions for topics that you want us to cover on the podcast or guests. And we'll see you on Friday.
We'll see you then. Can't wait.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.